Right now in Australia overnight, it's time, well, not to get to the bottom of a mystery because I'm not so sure that we ever will, but last week was the anniversary of the crash of MH370. It was a Malaysian airliner that took off for Beijing from Kuala Lumpur and never made it to its destination. It is one of the greatest aviation mysteries of all time. Retired airline pilot, a man with 18,000 hours in his logbook, James Nixon, has written a book called The Crash of MH370, and if we're ever going to find out what happened, that is a good place to start. He joins me now. Good morning, James.
G'day, Tony. I'm a bit nervous about Bianca and that stopwatch you've got.
No, well, we have special papal dispensation, so we're going to be okay.
That's all right.
If we go over 8 minutes, though, I can't guarantee that you won't get donged. It is a bit like red faces. You've written a very impressive book called The Crash of MH370. What inspired you to write it, James?
My sister, basically. Tony, I got back from living overseas for 13 years after ANZIIP went under. In October, actually, to see the grand final. And my sister and I went to a dinner party where somebody said that the pilots caused this crash of MH370. And I sort of said, well, no, that's not really the theory that most people in the industry subscribe to.
Yeah.
And it became apparent that the people in the industry can't talk because we all sign confidentiality agreements, whether you're a pilot, air traffic controller, or a crash investigator.
Yep.
So the things that I'd stuck on my website in, 10 days after the crash, what most pilots think happened, and we just sort of left it at that. And I told my sister, well, just read my website. She said, well, no one reads it. And I said, well, maybe I better write a book about it. So that's what I've done.
Okay. Let's start with, let's establish the facts as far as we know with MH370. A Boeing 777 takes off. It's night. It's heading towards Beijing. It says goodnight to one air traffic controller, and we assume all is going to go well. It then veers left and heads towards the Straits of Malacca and crashes at an undetermined location. Have I got that right, James?
Pretty much. Yes, that's about what happened.
Now, do you want to start off by telling us what you think didn't happen? Is there a theory, was it hijacking? Was it a mutiny by the crew? What do you think did not happen? What do we rule out firstly?
Well, firstly, my book goes through the timeline, tells you exactly what we know. And there's been a large amount of stuff written in the press that is wrong. So what we know is what you said pretty much, and we've got a lot of data about that. Then came conspiracy theories, and most of them we just laugh off, but there's two of them that we address in the book. One, that it was stolen by Vladimir Putin and taken to Kazakhstan.
Yep. Okay.
And parked 30 minutes drive from the Baikal Cosmodrome.
Yep.
So that one, we discount that one. The next one we discount was the one that said that MH370 shadowed a Singapore 777 up the Straits of Malacca and hid from the other airplane. Well,
yeah.
We discount that. The book tells you why that's not possible. Then the main ones that we discount that are what plausibly could have happened, a bomb or explosive decompression.
Yep.
Well, a bomb or big decompression issue caused a huge amount of debris, and it would have happened near Malaysia.
Yep.
So we know there's evidence that the plane crashed in the Indian Ocean and the debris has gone to the western side of the Indian Ocean in six countries, 25 pieces of debris. Three of them have been confirmed from this aircraft.
Okay. But none of them have yielded enough information to tell us what happened. I mean, I guess they have in a negative sense in that we know from them there's no blast residue, so we can rule out a bomb, for example. So the other more popular theory, at the time, and this may have been the one offered at the dinner party, was that the first officer goes out to go to the bathroom, locks the door, Captain Shah... an Air Egypt flight many years ago, is then dived vertically into the ground, into the ocean, and it is basically a pilot suicide that takes unwitting passengers with him. You rule that one out as well, James?
Well, completely, because of the timeline. And so the fact of the matter is that the police have been, I think it's about 640 interviews inside Malaysia.
Yep.
With the FBI checking through his home computer, they have ruled out anything wrong with this guy. And we address it in the book. You can see he's got a credit card. You can see his home loans, his car loans.
Yep.
Both of these guys, they went right through them, including the cabin crew as well, right through every single one of them before. And that was, as I launched this book, I'm working on data coming from the official investigators in Malaysia. Now, they've probably done the same thing through all the passengers, but right now we're talking about the pilots.
Yep.
And so we know that they're not crazy. They've got, they've compared the men as they've walked to the airport, going to the aircraft. For Captain Shah, they've compared five tapes with him walking to previous flights through the same procedures. So there's all these body language experts and handwriting experts. We can pretty much say that this guy's not crazy.
Okay.
And if he was, he would have taken the airplane off and turned around to the Petronas Towers and said, "Watch this."
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I'd like to think I'd never even be in that position. Of course, we do know there was a, I can't remember the airline, it was like a low-budget German airline where the pilot did just that. He flew the aircraft into the ground. And
yes, we've got lots of proof. That guy had drugs, had doctors who were treating him. He was losing his sight. He was going to lose his license.
Yep.
Now, there's 100,000 pilots flying around the world right now. And over the last 40 years, we've probably got 500,000 pilots who have retired.
Yep.
And prior to this crash, we've had three cases of pilot suicide in the history of the world.
Mm.
And since this crash, we've had the first officer from German Wings. That makes four.
Yep.
And in every single one of these cases, they leave a trail of destruction before their flights.
Yeah.
And that did not happen in MH370's case.
All right. So then in the time that we have left before Bianca does Gonis, I'm going to put you on the spot then. And to the best of your knowledge, James, what do you think, in all probability, brought down MH370?
Some catastrophic event has happened. Most likely, and what most pilots think, there's a few that don't, but most pilots think that the pilots have been overcome with toxic smoke.
Yep.
And this is evidenced by the UPS crash that happened in the Arabian Gulf a few years ago, where the captain turned back towards Dubai. The first thing that you do in smoke, fire and fumes removal is try and land the plane in a hurry.
Yep.
And so what they do to increase the turn radius, to turn quickly, is disconnect the autopilot. And that's what happened in UPS 6, and I believe that's what's happened here. Captain Shah has disconnected the autopilot to turn back towards Penang, and he's been disabled before he's got a chance to start the descent.
Okay. So
now, people say that wouldn't happen because pilots wear their oxygen masks in a smoke, fire, fumes event. That's not true.
Oh, okay.
Most pilots don't put their masks on initially until they smell smoke. Smoke, fire, fumes events are usually a communication exercise with the cabin crew because it's usually in the aircraft.
Yep.
Or it's in the cargo compartment and there's no smoke in the cockpit. So usually you do the first few items of the checklist without your masks on because there's a lot of communication involved. And something has probably disabled them before they could put their masks on, and that's the end of it.
Well, there you go. Well, hopefully we do find out, and that your very sensible theory is one day proved correct. I'm glad it never happened to you in your 18,000 hours of various types of Airbuses and Boeings over the journey. And thank you for your time this morning, James.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Tony.
Now, James, if we
want to... Thank you, Bianca.
Well, now, quick plug for your time. If we want to get a copy of your book, The Crash of MH370, where do we go, James?
We go to Amazon and type in MH370 Crash.
There we go. James Nixon is the name you need there as well, if that helps. Thank you so much for your time this morning, James.
My pleasure.